Hello there. Welcome to the podcast that I, your host, David Woodruff, lovingly call the Woodruff Report. We've got a lot coming your way this week. And as we set our clocks forward and sprung forward, it means that one thing is right around the corner, and that wonderful thing is March Madness. Yes, the insanity is here. We had our first four games, and the first round is just coming up shortly. So, on this edition of the Woodruff Report, our experts here at the Woodruff Report Studios are going to take a look into the crystal ball and tell you all about who we think is going to go all the way, what upsets we think are in the cards, and much, much more analysis. We're also, as we did last week, going to give you a little recap of what happened this week in the Champions League. The quarterfinals, so things really heating up in the Champions League. We've got a great edition of Woodruff Report coming at you. I'm your host, David Woodruff. I think you're going to enjoy this one. I am going to enjoy it with you. Starting in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Arguably, one of the most exciting parts of the sports calendar is before us. March Madness is here, here to stay, and it offers up its usual insanity and wondrous bliss for all basketball watchers, not even just college basketball watchers, not even a casual sports fan can enjoy this huge single elimination tournament that often pits underdogs in huge David versus Goliath matchups, and they often prevail. So we're going to offer you a little analysis of the bracket. Who are your sleepers? Who do we have to pick to go all the way of this year's March Madness tournament? So here at Woodruff Report Studios, we've been putting together our list of who we think's going to win. And after careful consideration, we picked one of the favorites of the tournament, the Kansas Jayhawks. So, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, Kansas has an incredible team with an incredible backcourt. Josh Jackson, the incredible freshman, I just used incredible many times, lo siento, paired with the experience of Frank Mason III. Kansas does not have their usual powerful big men, think Joel Embiid, who's tearing it up in the NBA, but their guard talent is probably the best in all the country. They're elite. They are athletic. They can score. And although they don't really have a skilled, or they do have a skilled, but they don't have an elite big man, they can still get it done down the stretch. So Kansas is who we saw as champions when we looked into the Woodruff Report's crystal ball. And remember, you should really take the Woodruff Report's crystal ball seriously. If you'll recall all the way back to the college football playoff, we actually correctly predicted the score of the Clemson-Alabama game in the Woodruff Report's crystal ball. So this is a legit item. We can really, for real, see the future through it, and I think you should really believe it. So other contenders, who else do we think can be incredibly successful in this year's tournament? And look no further than Kentucky, perennial favorites, led again by terrific freshman Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, another team without a bona fide big man star. Really, the best big man belongs to Purdue in their own Caleb Swanigan. But back to Kentucky, they don't have an elite big man. They have big men who can get it done, but it's the guard play. De'Aaron Fox making the whole machine move. He's incredibly quick. And Malik Monk, this kid is going to be a top pick in next year's NBA draft. We will probably have NBA draft coverage coming up soon on Woodruff Report. But he can knock down threes, he can drive, he's athletic, he can play defense, he has length, he has all you want in a guard. Especially in a tournament like March Madness where you've got so many games condensed, you really need a player who can take over at any point, and that is what Kentucky has in Malik Monk. Other favorites, you've got UNC, not really. North Carolina was sort of looked, they they weren't favored here in Woodruff Report Studios. We actually, a lot of our upsets involved teams taking down UNC, but they've got Roy Williams at the helm. He's been there before. He's got experience. He's got very good players of his own, and they can always make a deep run. Sticking in the ACC, you've got Duke, another perennial favorite, a blue blood, a team that knows how to get it done come tournament time. And then a very interesting team in UCLA, led, of course, by the famous, the amazing Lonzo Ball. And as a USC fan, as much as I hate talking about it, you got to hand it to this kid. He's talented. He's not afraid of the spotlight. He'll take deep threes when the game depends on it. He can handle, he makes the show move, and he's able to facilitate for players such as TJ Leaf, and he makes the teams better. He makes his team better, and that's another reason why he's going to be probably a top five, maybe even top three pick in the NBA draft. You can't ever sleep on a team led by a talented point guard such as Lonzo. So if you want to be that guy in your bracket and pick like a 4 or 5 seed to make it all the way to the championship, be the absolute Cinderella story like Butler was a few years ago when they played Duke with Gordon Hayward on their team, I would strongly recommend choosing one of these three teams as follows: Iowa State, Purdue, and West Virginia. So I'm not just pulling these out of the hat. Iowa State just recently won the Big 12 tournament. Yes, Kansas did not win. Iowa State overlooked a lot during the season one. They're hot. They can hit the three ball. They're athletic. They're experienced, and they have good depth. Purdue is sort of a blast from the past, led by incredible big man Caleb Swanigan, who we already talked about earlier on this show. He's probably the most talented big man in the country. He's an incredible story. If you ever have a chance to do some research on this guy Swanigan, he is just the definition of the rags to riches story, and it's impossible not to root for him after all that he's gone through. And then West Virginia is kind of another dark horse contender that I have. They also made it very far in the Big 12 tournament, losing to aforementioned Iowa State in the final. They play that traditional West Virginia high press. They get turnovers, they can score the ball, they can shoot. But the reason why we really have them as a dark horse contender is that they are probably in the weakest region out of all of them. And the reason I say that the West is the weakest region out of all the regions in this NCAA tournament is that its number one seed is really a question mark coming in. Gonzaga has their amazing record. We're ranked number one in the AP poll, but the competition that they've been playing against has been subpar. And that's no knock against some of the teams in their conference. I mean, you've got St. Mary's, a great team, a number seven seed in this year's tournament. But they haven't played elite teams like some of the teams in the ACC have had to, such as Duke, North Carolina. They've had a meat grinder of conference playing so many ranked teams, Virginia, Florida State. There were no off games in the ACC this year. And therefore, some of those teams that I mentioned before have more experience against great teams. So Gonzaga is probably the weakest number one in the tournament. Also in the West is a very good number two seed in Arizona, but again, they didn't play the slate that some of the teams in the ACC had to play. They were in a very top-heavy Pac-12 conference where UCLA, Arizona, and Oregon were doing most of the heavy lifting. There was then a steep drop-off between them and the rest of the competition. So still some question marks surrounding Arizona, but I mean, when I say that the West is the weakest region in all of the NCAA tournament, that's no knock. I mean, it still has incredible teams. I mean, Notre Dame is a 5 seed. That's incredible for a region, and it really speaks to how evenly matched this year's college basketball has been, the most evenly matched I've ever seen, and I have struggled to find a year where college basketball has had more parity than it does this year. So, incredibly even right now, but when compared with all the other regions, I believe that the West is the weakest. So that's why I, here at Woodruff Studios, we've chosen West Virginia as kind of a dark horse candidate. Please, please, please do not blame us if some of these teams lose in the first round. These are merely suggestions. Remember, when choosing an NCAA tournament pick, go with your gut. That's the best advice I can give you. I'm not going to tell you to look at these crazy stats that evaluate performance in the second quarter of the second half when playing teams, blah, 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 blah. I'm not asking you to look at those crazy stats. Go with your gut. Sometimes it just comes down to which mascot do I like better, which school colors do I like best. Things like that are surprisingly successful. I mean, there's always one of those stories every year. Six-year-old has only perfect bracket remaining after choosing by which animals he likes best. That's always a headline during March Madness. So going with your gut is the best advice I can give you. So we've given you some favorites and some dark horse candidates. Who are the upsets that are going to make March Madness incredible like it is every year? That 15 seed, 14 seed that knocks off a 2 or 3 seed and makes an incredible run into the Sweet 16. Remember Middle Tennessee last year against Michigan State. Remember Florida Gulf Coast, Dunk City a few years back taking down Georgetown in their incredible run. So who is the Florida Gulf Coast and who is the Middle Tennessee of this year? And I start with an Ivy League team, the Princeton Tigers. Now, why is Princeton an upset candidate? And the number one reason that I have for choosing Princeton as an upset candidate is that they shoot the three ball so much. They shoot more three-pointers than they do free throws. And when you're looking at a Cinderella story, it's often a team that just can't miss in the first round. They shoot a bunch of threes and their guys are just en fuego. They have no pressure on them. They know all the pressures on the other team and they just can't miss from behind the arc. So that's what I always look for in an upset candidate, and that's what Princeton has. They have good shooting from the outside. They just won the Ivy League tournament. They're playing well and they shoot a bunch of threes, and if those start to go in, they can easily frustrate a Notre Dame team that relies on a big man and is a little bit more deliberate. Notre Dame is not a bad team and they're experienced, and that makes them not as susceptible to the upset as some other teams may be, but when they face a team like Princeton that shoots the three balls, you never know what can happen. Sticking in the West region is Florida Gulf Coast, another team who has put it all together in years before and made deep runs. But a lot of people are picking Florida Gulf Coast because, oh, they were Dunk City a few years back. I have actually watched them, and they have length, they are athletic, they're very good when I watch them play. So Florida State, who has had question marks surrounding them all season, needs to be on upset alert when playing Florida Gulf Coast. You know Gulf Coast is going to travel well. They'll bring a lot of fans. They'll get rowdy in the arena, and that's always dangerous. If they start to make a run, shades from the past, maybe doubt cast into the Florida State players. Oh, we were watching a couple years back when Florida Gulf made their deep run. Is this another one of those years? Doubt can creep into their mind, and upset city, not only Dunk City, upset city could occur when Florida State has to take on Florida Gulf Coast. My final upset choice may just be my heart getting in the way of my mind, but I really think USC has a good chance to knock off SMU. And the reason I think this is because USC is coming off such a huge momentum helper after their 17-point first four in game against Providence, where they came from 17 points down to beat the Friars, shock them really in Dayton, Ohio. And that momentum could be key coming into a game against a good SMU team that the Trojans have actually already beat this season. So this one's not as much of an upset as the Princeton game or the Florida Gulf Coast game, but watch out SMU. And a lot of people are choosing SMU to be their dark horse, that 5-plus seed that makes it to the Sweet 16, which seems to happen every year in the glorious March Madness. But I would be very careful with this USC team. They have a big man. They have a good big man in Metu. They can shoot the three ball with Boatwright. And I'm a huge USC fan, so I'm, as I said before, I may be putting my heart in front of my head. But I really think that SMU needs to be on upset alert. So there are some other upsets that may not occur in the first round, but that I can think of going forward. And one of them has to do with our pick, Kansas. And Kansas would potentially play the winner of Iowa State Purdue in the third round of the tournament, and I think that they need to be on huge upset alert whoever they play. Purdue with their big man Caleb Swanigan, Iowa State with all their experience in shooting. Another team that has the potential to be knocked out very early is Louisville, as they have the possibility of playing either Michigan or Oklahoma State in the second round. Michigan just recently won the Big Ten tournament and has a ton of momentum. They've got a good experienced point guard in Walton, and they can hit the three ball, and they have a very experienced team, and DJ Durkin, a good big man. Oklahoma State might have the best offense in the nation. They're quick, they can shoot, and Forte is just a knockdown shooter on the outside, and they can rebound the ball. They have some of the best points per game numbers in the nation, and if they can play a little defense, they can really put Louisville on upset alert. So Louisville has to be very careful in their second round when they play the winner of Michigan versus Oklahoma State. Otherwise, the best region, I think, is the South. You've got UNC, Kentucky, and UCLA all in one region, and there is the potential to have an absolutely incredible game between Kentucky and UCLA occurring in round three, with the winner probably playing UNC in the final. So that's my region of, I think that's the toughest region, is the South. So moving away from March Madness, let's finish the show up by talking a little Champions League. And the second leg of the final games were played Tuesday and Wednesday of this week with some more huge shockers. We had last week Barcelona pulling off their absolutely unbelievable game that I can't even describe in words, their 6-1 beating of PSG to move them on to the next round. But we had some equally incredible games this week. Look no further than the campeones of the English Premier League, Leicester City, getting a 2-0 win against Sevilla and knocking out the Europa League winners. Unbelievable game. You knew once Leicester got that away goal from Jamie Vardy last week in Spain that they... Not last week, I apologize, during the first leg, that they had a chance to be shock winners in this tie. And after their firing of Claudio Ranieri, after their Sevilla first leg, they've looked like the Leicester of old under former assistant manager Craig Shakespeare. They've got that counterattacking style. Mahrez looks much better. Vardy is up to his old ways, just running. And the back line has looked much better under Shakespeare. So a 2-0 cracker of a match, which saw captain Wes Morgan score off a set piece in the first half to make it 1-0 to Leicester. And then Mark Albrighton score the second goal on a nice left-footed volley into the bottom corner. Late in the match, Steven Nzonzi had a chance to put the game into extra time had he scored his penalty, but Kasper Schmeichel, the Leicester hero goalkeeper, saved again, and Samir Nasri, the midfielder for Sevilla, picked up a red card in the match after headbutting, Vardy. After headbutting Vardy, picking up his second yellow, which really sealed Sevilla's fate, he had some interesting comments after the match about how Vardy was a cheat. The English media is all bad, but... And if you watch the replay, Vardy probably should have been punished as well, but you can't ever headbutt someone on the field. You know they're going to exaggerate the contact, and... So, stupid rush of blood to the head for Nasri, and Leicester are through! Absolutely, what a story. After last year, you didn't think it could get any greater, but after this run in the Champions League, I mean, this rivals last year's story, just because it's so hard to beat some of these teams in the Champions League over two legs. What they're doing is absolutely incredible. Congratulations, Leicester, for moving on. Another dramatic game took place in France as Monaco, down 5-3 after the thriller of a first match in Manchester, had it all to do when Pep Guardiola's men came and That they did, coming out 3-1 winners and winning 6-6 on aggregate by way of the away's goal rule. If you do not know the away's goal rule, just Google it. It's complicated and many people don't like it, but it's how it works. So, Superman, Kylian Mbappe scored the first goal for Monaco, followed in the 29th minute by a goal from Tavares. Sané restored some parity for the Englishmen with a goal in the 71st minute, only for the winner to be scored by Bakayoko in the 79th to make it 3-1. And this was a tale of two halves for the men from Manchester, as they, in the words of outside back Bakary Sanya, forgot to play in the first half. They could not get anything done. The ball was just down their throat in their half the whole time. Literally, he was right. They forgot how to play soccer. It was a disaster for Guardiola's men in the first half. But then they dominated in the second half, looking like a true Guardiola Champions League team. They looked great. The ball just wouldn't go in the net. Aguero was trying everything he knew, pulling out everything from his bag of tricks. He could not get the ball past Monaco's keeper. And so another kind of Cinderella story, as no one expected Monaco to make it this far. So Leicester and Monaco, two Cinderella stories. It's time for some of the favorites to go through, and that's what happened. Juventus took down Porto 1-0 on a Paulo Dybala penalty in what was a pretty tame match. Porto picked up another red card. They had a red card in the first leg, and as the ball was being shot on a virtually open net, a defender stuck out his arm slightly, and the ball deflected out. He kept the ball out of the net, but paid the ultimate price in getting sent off. Paulo Dybala dispatched of the penalty, and Porto were a man down. Never looked like threatening. Juventus move on comfortably 3-0 on aggregate. And then in the tamest match of the week, Atletico Madrid move on with a 0-0 scoreline against Bayer Leverkusen after their 4-2 win in Germany. That was enough to ensure them through. Leverkusen actually looked pretty good in this game, but that Atletico defense is very resolute, and they did the job. So, we know all the results from the Champions League, and that means it's time for the draw. And the Champions League draw is going to be very, very interesting. You've got Cinderella stories, Leicester and Monaco, paired with perennial favorites such as Bayern and Real. Barcelona are in there. Atletico have been great in recent years. You've also got Dortmund in there, and of course the Italian champs Juventus. So I do not think any team would want to face Leicester currently. Likewise, Monaco. Monaco have just been able to score at will in this year's competition, and no club wants to face them right now. It looks like there will be at least one clash of the giants. Real Madrid, Bayern, Barcelona, Juventus are probably going to draw one another, or at least one of them is going to draw. Dortmund is an interesting team going into this draw, because they haven't looked great in the league campaign, but they've been dangerous, and you know what they can do based on performance from recent years. So they're kind of an anomaly so far. They've looked very good in Champions League, looked very good dispatching of Benfica, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. But the real story is Leicester. Congratulations to the Foxes on making it to the final eight, the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and no team wants to face them. I can guarantee you that. Next week on the Woodruff Report podcast, we'll tell you the full Champions League draw, and that'll be that. We'll see what great Champions League matches were in store for. This is the most exciting part of the soccer season. Finals, you've got the Europa League final coming up, the Champions League final coming up. Leagues are getting heated. The races for the top spot are getting intense and fun. This is what it's all about, being a football fan. And I'm looking forward to it. You should be too. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Woodruff Report. I am your host, David Woodruff. On this edition of Woodruff Report, we talked about March Madness, that beautiful sports spectacle that is March Madness, and gave you a Champions League roundup. Be sure to join us next week, but as always, thank you for tuning in. This was the Woodruff Report. See you next week.